Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio, thanks for being here, everybody. We're going to have some fun this morning. Kick things off the way we like to with our friend, Brittany Merlot. Good morning, Britt.
Good morning. I hear you humming to the music, so the good weather and the warmth must have got you in a good mood.
Got in my veins, got in my bones. Yeah, there's a beautiful sun out there. I got to see the eagle this morning. It's a good start to the day.
James, are you wearing shorts?
No, I really wanted to, though. That's hilarious. I was almost late this morning just debating. You ever do that? Because I like to pick out my clothes. I like to have it out of the way so that I know what I'm throwing on in the morning because of the way I sleep, and I usually am waking up and I had lined up what I was going to wear, but then I thought about the weather, and I'm like, hey, could I pull off shorts today?
Could I do it?
Didn't do it.
Listeners want to know.
Didn't do it. But Brittany, it might be a good thing. Today's a little chillier than yesterday, it looks like.
Yeah, wise choice. About 20 degrees colder today with some winds whipping at about 25 miles per hour, too. So good choice on the no shorts, but I hope you rocked them yesterday. I was a little weary. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I got excited because I did see two people doing it, and I did wear shorts a bit yesterday. I did, so.
You know what I saw yesterday? Well, first of all, I was scared to wear the short sleeves. I thought if I went for the walk, I'd be cold by the time I got to the middle of the walk. But it worked out fine. But as I'm on this walk, I'm walking around the Eau Claire River, and I see this couple coming back in bikinis and swim trunks.
Whoa. Yeah. Whoa.
No way.
They
wow.
put their butts, their pasty butts, in that river with ice trunks.
Oh! You know, I've heard of hot and cold treatments. This is lacking the hot people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wouldn't advise that today, but you'll have a chance to do that eventually. It's coming up.
Is this going to continue this week, Brittany?
Yeah, so we are on this roller coaster. So at the bottom of the drop right now, we're going to climb tomorrow to the mid-50s. We'll hit the low 60s on Thursday, and then we're even looking at low 70s by Friday. But everything changes over the weekend with rain moving in on Saturday and potentially some light snow on Sunday. But even after that, as we go into next week, we climb right back to some spring temps, so we're good.
It's just all over the place.
It's the roller coaster of March.
Really
in
is.
Wisconsin.
Really is. And it makes us appreciate you all the more, Brittany, because we don't know where we'd be without you guys. You meteorologists out there, you're the best. We appreciate you.
You're doing the hard work. Thank you, Brittany.
Yep.
You're the best.
Have a good morning.
You too.
Best in the
Bye,
business
Brittany.
Right there. Brittany Merlot joining us every morning. Her head has to spin with just...
I can only imagine.
I didn't get into it too much because I was rambling, but I'm sitting there debating about what to wear and everything. I can't imagine for her. She goes to bed, the weather, you know, the predictions are one thing, the forecasts are saying one thing, and then she wakes up and it's a whole other thing.
And she's watching systems move in and going, well, it could go this way or it could go that. She's got like insider knowledge on this stuff.
Still,
Mother Nature.
Yeah. It feels like sometimes Mother Nature just sits back and waits for them to give their forecast. Like, okay, all right, now here's a curveball.
Yep, she's up there laughing with God.
Yep. Well, at least
every time you try to make plans,
at least we're entertaining. We are going to entertain you. We've got plenty of great stuff over the next couple of hours. The El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club is right around the corner. We're going to do some rewinding to about 5 years ago in a little bit. We'll also get into that and some science. Melissa and I are going to help you get hired. We can't help you get paid right, but we can help you get hired. 5 things you might secretly be judged for in a job interview. That is coming up a little bit later. Okay. We're going to kick off the 9 o'clock hour with our friend Amy Schultz. She's going to be here to talk Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, yes. Awesome.
Cannot wait. We're looking forward to that. We're going to not only get a chance to talk about the types of cookies they'll have out this year, but what Girl Scouts means for our young ladies out there and for entrepreneurism.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Get into some entertainment news as well. We got some local theater to talk about, all that coming up, and what phrases annoy you every time you hear them. That's a tough one. I think that's a relatable one that we can all just like nod our heads to and everything.
I'm going to laugh through that whole segment. I'm sorry.
I want to get into a really good story of the day. We're going to wrap up our segment, our whole show today, and our good stories of the day getting into our schedule. And a great a BuzzFeed article Melissa sent over to me, 47 teachers who went above and beyond for their students. We're going to go over some of those. Not all 47. We don't have the time for that. But we're going to go over some of the highlights of them and let you know how you can check that out yourself. And use that later. And right now, as a reminder to all you teachers out there, to all you people in the education system, we know you have good stories of the day. Let them know. Mm-hmm. Let us know. And we'll share them.
Oh, we would love to share them.
Yeah. But let's go ahead and start right here, Melissa. everybody, you know, still dealing with the time change. There are experts that will tell you that it can take 1 to 3 weeks for you to completely adjust to this. And
that's depressing.
It is. It is a little bit. Now, for those of us that have traveled out of time zones, I think there's a little similarity to it. I've never traveled like you have, where you've gone to like out of the country or anything like that. I've gone to the West Coast, and that's pretty much the biggest time change I've had. And that took me at least a week to get used to. To get used to that. And if you think I have a messed up sleep schedule now, man, it was crazy back then. How long did it take you to kind of adjust to the time change, or when you've had time changes?
Well, the thing was, like, when I went to Hawaii, it was vacation, too.
So you're on vacation type, too.
I wasn't on a time schedule, and I don't know, you get so messed up with the flight anyway, and then it's, I don't know, and up is down, and day is night, and you just kind of go with it.
Didn't even think of that. Yeah, that makes sense, especially the vacation time thing.
Well, and because I did have an extended amount of time there when I was cat sitting. I don't remember. But it was a lovely time.
Well, it's one of the things that I think about this when it comes, especially, I didn't always think this, but I will say in the last couple of years I've thought of, I look for any opportunity to show that those of us here in central Wisconsin, or those of you in the projects in Brooklyn, or the upper state of LA, or anywhere you're listening to us, relatability. And things that we all have in common, and things that we all share. And there are very few people out there, if any, who are not trying to adjust to this time change. And it's something that we all have in common.
Except the people in Arizona.
Yeah, those luckies. But
they're not the only place, but yeah.
No. But for the rest of us.
The Amish.
There you go.
They don't follow the time change.
That's such an interesting note to me. And not surprising. I think it's one of those things that makes sense when you hear it. But I would have never thought of that until years ago somebody said something about that. So we have a few things that you can do that might help you adjust to the time change. Number one, and this is always a good idea this time of year, whether it is Brittany telling us this or Stephen and Katrina from Family Natural Foods, get some sun. Spend time outside in natural light and can help reiterate your internal clock, even if it's cloudy outside, even if it's not necessarily the nicest day. Now, this morning we got a chance for it, but...
Yeah, because even when it's cloudy, you do get sun because it's out there.
And while it's not the same thing at all, recommended vitamin D supplements from your doctor or research on that one, not a bad idea either.
Well, and I was told by I believe it was a nurse practitioner years and years ago. She's like, even in the summertime, anybody living at this latitude does not get enough sun, does not get enough vitamin D from the sun. It's not possible. Yeah. So.
Let me just take a sip of my coffee here. Don't lean on that extra cup of coffee. Dang it. Don't. It's tempting when you're tired, but caffeine too late in the day can keep you up at night, which is just going to mess with that whole missing an hour even more. And it's a Band-Aid. You know, it doesn't really solve anything for
you. No, it's not the replacement for sleep. But, you know, for those of us who sometimes occasionally struggle to sleep at night, I don't know. I don't know if this is the time to get into it, James, but I think I was trying to be you last night.
Oh, no. You poor thing.
I literally was up until 3 a.m.
Oh, no. Oh, God, that hurts for you. I feel for you. No, it's not good,
is
it?
When you've been tossing and turning and you look at your phone, it's like, I've been doing this for 3 hours?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Oh, God, yes. I just felt that. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Because literally, I was like, okay, I know what they say. How long is it you're supposed to lay in bed before you get up? Because it feels like it's been more than that long.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, I feel for you. I will say that we'll get into it a little bit later. For me, I think it's a little understandable, even though I feel for you and I wish it hadn't happened. And there's other resources you can do. Now, I will say, though, I think that you also have to give yourself some grace at these times. And if your grace is that extra cup of coffee or something, maybe one of the ways
it's going to be today.
You know, I hate wasting stuff, but one of the things that I'll do sometimes, I'll pour myself my cup of coffee and I'll drink half of it. And I feel a little better. It's splitting the atom, I wholeheartedly admit, but it's, it helps a little.
Well, and sometimes your body tells you, no, you're done.
Yeah, yeah.
No more coffee.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, I'm one of those people. I could drink coffee at midnight and still fall asleep. At the same time, not drink nothing but water from noon until midnight and still be awake. So I don't know.
Zero coffee after nine yesterday. So I don't know.
Wasn't that? Yeah. Eat meals on your new schedule. If you normally eat lunch at 1, you might not feel hungry until 2. But sticking with your normal lunchtime can help you adjust quicker. And don't eat dinner too late either. It can keep you up.
Yeah. Well, and this is another thing too, for those of us that don't have a set schedule, that it doesn't matter as much, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't always eat at exactly the same time.
As you were just predicting ahead of us and everything, one of my favorite phrases, of course, you want to make God laugh, make plans. We all run into this where we have good intentions or we have a routine or a plan that we're trying to do, and it just doesn't always work out that way. Mm-hmm. I think that working around that in all of this, that's what they're getting at here, I believe. I understand what they're saying down to the number, down to the exact time, but I think the getting around that is the best you can do some days.
Yeah, and I mean, our bodies like routine. They like habits. They like to be stuck in a groove.
Yeah.
And if
yeah.
you've achieved that, then these are for you.
our brains crave routine.
Yes.
They crave routine, so anytime you can get it to them. Get some exercise. Even a brisk walk can make you feel more alert. It might also help you fall asleep tonight.
Yeah. I'm going to try that today.
Yeah, I got a friend of mine. That's what he does. If he can't sleep, he goes for a walk. He also lives in California, so it's a little bit easier to do. But yeah, he's done that as long as I've known him, yeah. Huh. And hydrate. You'll feel more fatigued if you're dehydrated. So drink plenty of water this week. Avoiding alcohol is also a good idea.
Yeah. But, you know, you can pretty much never go wrong with more water.
Yep. There are a few situations where, that's enough. Stop now. It usually is a pretty good idea. Good idea for us to do some celebrating. We're going to do that when we get back here on the morning show. Melissa and I will get into the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. It's coming up. It's time to do some celebrating with our great friends over at El Cafe. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to El Cafe, 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. They're open today.
Oh, yeah. I'm loving the new bumpers.
Yeah. Nice work. I sent Seth a couple suggestions, and then he took the ball and ran with it and added a whole bunch more.
Celebration song. I love it.
Any Zeppelin
in the morning
is great.
And Seth. Well
nice,
done.
Nice work, man. Nice work. And great work being done by our friends over at El Cafe. They're hoping everybody has a wonderful day. And you can find that out for yourself if you follow them on Facebook.
Yes, they have a wonderful Facebook page, and they always have their specials loaded on there. Let me pull this up here. Santa Fe Benedict Polish Sausage Skillet and their lunch lunch specials this week: tuna melt, cafe steak, or chicken nachos. James.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm looking at. Yeah, chicken I saw nachos. That right away. I'm like, ooh, chicken nachos. I don't think I've had that before. That sounds like my kind of thing. That's my jam.
Okay, also, the Santa Fe Benedict. I've never had it with chicken.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I would try that. I would try that.
I would absolutely try that because the hollandaise sauce is infused with a hint of buffalo.
Oh, yeah. See, they get so creative over there. They have such great stuff.
They do. I love it.
Check out that menu, everybody. Enjoy yourself over at El Cafe today and say hi to them for us. We appreciate our friends over at El Cafe. Get us for your birthdays and anniversaries as well. Get them to us, everybody. Email us, info@WFHR.com. You can, of course, direct message us on our Facebook pages, and you can text us or call us.
That's right. Our phone number here at the station is 715-424-2600. You can wish your happy birthday or anniversary, share it with us live, or you can just text it in through the Civic Media app.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you, everybody. We really love live birthdays, so go ahead and get them to us, everybody. Birthdays and
anniversaries. Even if it's not today.
Yeah, yeah. We don't mind. We don't mind. We will go ahead and dive right in. Melissa, I need a 1 through 3.
Whoa. 3.
All right, gives us our qualifier here. Get right into it. First up, we want to wish a happy birthday to Caitlin Wilson.
Happy birthday, Caitlin.
Enjoy your day, Caitlin. Hope it's a good one for you. And we wish a happy birthday to Brittany Wansnyder.
Happy birthday, Brittany.
Enjoy the day, Brittany. We wish you a good one.
We like Brittany's around here.
I was going to say, yeah, we're big fans of Brittany's around here. So, yeah, yeah. Enjoy the day, Brittany. Hope it's a good one. And our qualifier, Marge Wendt.
Oh, happy birthday, Marge. Congratulations.
Wishing you the best of days, Marge. Enjoy. We encourage you to brag to all your friends, family, animals that you are our qualifier for today.
And get over to El Cafe because you will get free pie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let them know. Let them know over there, everybody.
And
yeah.
Their pie selection is fantastic.
I got to try. I got to get over there. We take a look at our celebrity list. Jodie Comer is 32. Villanella on Killing Eve and Millie in Free Guy. Very good actor. Very good actor. I have not seen her in a ton of stuff. I didn't see Killing Eve. A lot of people told me that I should watch it. I never got a chance to. But I did see her in the movie Free Guy with Ryan Reynolds, and she was fantastic.
Oh, yes. No, her with in Killing Eve with Sandra
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, that was fantastic. She was absolutely fantastic in that.
I've seen some scenes from it, voting on SAG Awards, and I was blown away. She's in the new 28 Years Later movie that's coming out. A lot of people are excited about. She's just really good.
I never got to finish all the seasons, but what I did get to see was just
Yeah. Yeah, it was one of those shows. Thora Birch is 43, Kevin Spacey's daughter in American Beauty, Enid in Ghost World, Danny in the Halloween movie, Hocus Pocus. Great actor. Great actor. I like her a lot. She's a good actress. Ghost World is fantastic. My sister and I watched that movie like 3 times. Like, it's a good movie. Benji.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. It takes me a while to find them, and then I know who it is.
She's good. She's a good
one. She was one of the kids in Hocus Pocus, right?
Yeah. I got to be honest with the audience. I don't know that. My sister watched that movie all the time, and I would babysit my sister and brother. But I was a teenager. I didn't really watch it. Yeah, I wasn't paying attention. Yeah, I saw the actors in it. I'm still blown away. Sarah Jessica Parker doesn't look like her in that movie. Like, it took me years to realize that was her in that movie. I don't know why. Just something about the way that she looks in it, was unrecognizable to me. I don't mean that in a bad way.
Did a great job.
Yeah, I mean that in no bad way or anything like that. Just saying, you know, just didn't. I knew Bette Midler.
It's hard to miss.
Bette Midler's shadow shows up in a movie and I know she's in it. I mean, she's incredible. Benji and Joel Madden are 46, twins from the suburbs at part of Good Charlotte.
Okay.
Let's see here. Benji is married to Cameron Diaz. Wow, I didn't know that. They got 2 kids.
Okay. Good for him.
Johnny Knoxville is 54. Of course, famous from the Jackass TV show and movies and everything. But a sneaky
stunt performer.
Yes. Yeah, good way to put it. Yeah. Sneaky thing about Johnny Knoxville, good actor. He's a good actor. I'm not going to go crazy and say he's an Oscar type caliber or something like that, but he's he's way better than average. He's a very solid actor and a solid voice actor. He does a really good job with both. I would love to be able to interview him and find out, hey, did you want to do acting? And this kind of came first, hanging out with your buddies and doing all these crazy, you know, stunts and all that stuff. I'd love to know which came first for him, because if he just fell into acting and he's this good, that's not fair. That's not fair.
His real name, Philip John Clapp.
Oh, wow. Okay. I wouldn't. Well, with what they used to do, with all the crazy stuff, of the Jackass stuff and everything, I would have thought Clapp would be a good last name. I would have. Lisa Loeb is 57. Stay, I Lisa Missed You.
Loeb. I love that song.
It's still a good one. Not only very self-deprecating with that song, you know, she's always had fun with it and everything. I think the movie Reality Bites really set it on a standard. But what Lisa Loeb did is something that really inspired and really set the stage for a lot of other artists. Lisa Loeb's that hit was a hit without her having a record deal. She put that together. She did that. She produced that and everything. And it eventually got caught on, and you know, she got a record deal from it and everything. But it's very, it doesn't happen that way in the industry. You get the record deal and then you get the hit. For her and other artists since her, like Chance the Rapper and so many others, Nipsey Hussle, a lot of hip hop artists have done this, where they own every second of their music. They're not gonna, they've seen what happened to, you know, the Beatles and other artists. They're not losing them. I know that it's got to be tempting to sign a record deal. I can't imagine how tempting it is. I couldn't imagagine doing that as an artist.
To keep power over your own destiny when it comes to your creation. But she also was in several movies.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
That's right. Yeah.
Hanukkah on Rye.
Yeah,
I might have to watch that one.
I got to see that one. I haven't seen that yet. Good one. She's a good singer-songwriter. The great Bobby McFerrin is 75 today. Don't worry, be happy. Bobby McFerrin did a lot of great work with Yo-Yo Ma as well. There's some really good work. I guess you would call it duets with them in a way. But I will always value and appreciate Bobby McFerrin in major part because of the music video for Don't Worry, Be Happy, which of course features Robin Williams. They asked Robin to be a part of this. Robin was a fan of Bobby McFerrin's and they were friends, so he decided to do it. People may not know this, Robin did it for free. And you can't get away with that anymore in this day and age. There are actors that literally work for a dollar just because of the way that the rules are now, that you have to be paid something. It's for the betterment of all actors, but it does. Every once in a while, it gets in the way of some things. The whole video Robin improvised, and you go back and you watch that video, and it's not only a fun song. There's like stories he's trying to tell that he just creates in this video. It's all pretty much one take too. It's one of my favorite videos of all time. I get goosebumps thinking about it. And it's a fun song.
I have to watch it.
I'll admit, as a kid when that song came out, I got tired of it real quick.
I mean, it's repetitive.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly admit that. But now when I hear it, it doesn't bother me as much. And I especially love the video. I go back and watch it every once in a while. It's a good one.
I will definitely have to actually listen to more of his music, though, because that's really the only song, you know, that's his most recognizable one.
Yeah.
But this man has a 4-octave range.
Oh, yeah. Bob McFerrin is incredible. History is not going to do right by him. We're going to remember him for this. When you go ahead and look at how many awards and how many different things that man has won and everything, he's incredible.
And all his different scat singing to polyphonic overtone singing. This bucket list.
Yeah, he's a good one. Sam Donaldson is 91, ABC News legend. When we were kids, we had the three big names. We had Donaldson, Jennings, these great journalists that we could count on and trust and go to. And all of them, in many ways, worked together and you know, behind the scenes. While they were all fighting to break stories and everything, there was a camaraderie with journalism. Yeah. There was an idea of, do we want to break the story? Yes, but we got to get it right. And it's better to be right than be first.
Yes, that is correct.
it's tough to wrap our brains around that in American society, because winning is everything and coming in first is everything and all these things, but not with the news, not with that, not with this one department, with at least with this one department. That's not the case. I would rather the story be right and accurate than be, I'd rather be 10th or 12th to a story than be first with inaccuracy. As one of the names that I mentioned there found out the hard way, and Dan Rather, one of the greats, and he had a black eye on his career because of that. It's the 24-hour news cycle and the advertiser thing that really throws amok into all this stuff, where, you know, money became more important than facts.
Yeah, and I don't know. It seems to be, I don't know, the root of all evil.
Yeah, money? Yeah, it really does. Which is in part why we value so much working for Civic Media and how important that is with what we do here. We want to keep the lights on. We want to keep Sage healthy and all these things. But at the same time, you heard me mention one person. I didn't mention a conglomerate. I didn't mention, a board of directors or something like that or anything. We are fortunate that our company is run really by a bunch of people, but one person at the top, and that person, looks at profit as a second or third-tier thing. Democracy is the number one thing.
Civic engagement.
And certainly entertaining, having fun. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of music stations under the Civic Media umbrella as well and everything. Yeah. But it's
informative entertainment.
Yeah, I think we do it both. I think we do both well. Mm-hmm. Also, some people no longer with us. Just a shout out to Vinnie Paul, born in 1964, passed away way too young in 2018. Dimebag Darrell's little brother. Both brothers gone now, so that's just a shame. Mm. Just a shame. Great drummer. Got to see Pantera live four times. Wow. Amazing band. Amazing band. We wish everybody out there celebrating a birthday or anniversary a great one. Enjoy your day, everybody, and celebrate with our friends at El Cafe.
Yeah, get down there and have some pie. It's awesome.
221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. We will take a time out, get to our news, sports, and partner break. When Melissa and I come back, we're going back in time.
Going back in time.
Be back in
time. Now I want to watch Back to the Future.
Yeah, now I do too, dude. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us. I got some fun stuff lined up for you. We'll be getting into in just a little bit. But right now, we're rewinding. We're going back in time. It's just stuck.
Don't make me sing this song
I know.
Again.
It's stuck in my head. It's stuck in my 5 years ago today, we were all really stressed and really, again, relatability. I think everybody was almost on the same page with the same emotions. It is the 5 years ago, COVID-19 hit. The World Health Organization declared it a global pandemic on March 11th in 2020. Within days, the world unraveled. If you weren't holed up in a bunker or running around trying to grab as much toilet paper as you could or any of these things, the national emergency was declared on March 13th. Then schools, businesses, and borders closed. California became the first to issue stay-at-home orders on March 19th. Then other states followed suit. The stock market had its worst crash since 87, and all sports leagues shut down. There was the... really bad, well-intended, let's say, to be nice, but really bad Imagine video. Oh, that was bad. It was cringy. It was rough.
I don't know that I saw it.
Yeah. We learned a lot of different phrases like social distancing and essential workers and things like that. Mm-hmm. And the World Health Organization finally declared COVID was no longer a global health emergency 3 years later on May 5th, 2023. According to their official stats, over 7 million people died worldwide, including 1.2 million in the U.S.
Wow. It feels like that is somewhat underreported. I know we had the constant updates and the daily notifications, but that number seems just big.
I learned this when I was a kid. If you say I love you every 5 seconds, it loses its meaning. Kind of doesn't mean as much the first time you said it as the 18,000th time you've said it if you say it just back to back to back to back to back. I've got friends over in the New York area that talk about this because they've got in New York the national debt thing that keeps ticking. And while there was good intentions probably behind that, just like with the COVID-19 numbers and some of that.
It just becomes numbers.
We got numb to it. I could not agree with you more, Melissa. It's part of the reason I wanted to even do this article, is talking about that 7 million people that we lost worldwide, and the 1.2 fellow Americans we lost, especially when a lot of this didn't have to happen. And that's not in me pointing fingers or anything like that. That's just life. I could say that about a lot of things. I could say it about polio. Now, this one's a little bit different for various reasons, but I'm just trying to be fair here. And I think that that's something else to take in mind with this, too. We were all trying to do the very best we could, especially our World Health Organization.
Mm-hmm. The intentions were good.
Yeah.
To protect public health.
Everybody wants to be armchair quarterback now. Everybody wants to be Monday morning quarterback.
Hindsight's 2020.
Yeah, I'm really tired of this, and I'm especially sick of it from politicians, because I don't want my politician to tell me that, oh, well, we should have been doing this or we should have been doing that. Learn from our mistakes and let's move on.
And move on.
Yeah.
Because it does. We can't change the past.
Yeah.
Past is past.
Yeah.
We need to move forward.
And can we, as we are moving forward, and we are 5 years removed from this, can we get back to trusting science?
Yes,
can we go back to that? You know, the thing that got us almost pretty much, along with human will and creativity and so many other things, got us to where we are in society today.
Right. Helped eradicate diseases that used to kill children, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the cemeteries used to be full of tiny graves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we eradicated disease because of science.
Polio.
Let's not lose sight of that.
There's just too much work to be done in the science field. And when it comes, I say this all the time, and I won't stop saying it until it changes. These diseases are running game on us. One of the biggest threats to humanity is diseases, and we continue to bicker about political parties and sports teams and silly things while these diseases just run game on us. They don't care if you're rich or poor. They don't care if you're Republican or a Democrat. They don't care if you're an American citizen or not.
Nope.
Getting our egos out of the way and getting out of the way of who wants to make another million or any of these other things, and just focusing on humanity and it being better, and sharing of information, and the need for this, getting back to trusting science.
Yes.
Science will be the first one to tell you that science isn't always 1,000% right, because science is an ever-adapting thing. But when it's right, it's right. The earth is round. The earth is round, people. There's certain things science...
Now, James, you said it.
Certain things science got right, and a good 99%, if not more, of that. And when it doesn't get it right, it gets it right very shortly after, or adjusting to curves or different things.
Well, right, because it's an ever-evolving thing, science.
The only
thing... We learn from our mistakes, and we change, and we adapt, and we grow, and I don't know.
And
things change.
I would think we would want that. Life is ever-changing. I mean, the only thing that's right ever always is my mom. That's it.
You are correct.
Speaking of science and trusting science, look what science can do for us. Eggs are very expensive right now. Everybody's talking about it. Every stand-up comedian's trying to come up with jokes about it.
Right.
I was the other day, this weekend, I was for about an hour working with my buddy Will. He's trying to come up with these bits on eggs, and it's just like, can we just move on, man? Like, it's not happening. We're not coming up with anything here.
And people are getting sick of it.
Yeah, it's kind of old hat now. Researchers in Italy released a study. This is a way, they have a new way, science has figured out a new way to cook eggs.
To cook eggs?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this study that they released is called the periodic cooking. It's not complicated, but it does take a while, 32 minutes.
Okay.
The two parts of an egg don't cook the same. Hard-boiled makes the egg white rubbery, which some people don't like. But soft-boiled doesn't fully cook the yolk, so they designed it to cook both parts perfectly. It takes some dedication and two pots of water, one that's 212 degrees and one that's 86 degrees.
Okay.
You cook them for 2 minutes in hot water, move them to the warm water for 2 minutes, then repeat the process 7 more times.
Oh my goodness.
After 32 minutes, you end up with the perfectly cooked eggs, but many people are wondering if it's worth it. Now, I think the only people really doing this are a lot of I'm kind of one of these. I'm a borderline science nerd, but I think that's the only people doing this. I can't imagine anybody that has the time for this.
Well, if we were stuck at home in a pandemic and we had a whole lot of eggs.
Where was this 5 years ago, science?
Right?
Yeah, I take it all back. Science, you're lazy. Where were you five? Where's my hoverboard? Where's my?
Oh man.
Yeah. It does
seem like I would be interested to try to like taste the egg.
Yeah, yeah.
That's perfectly cooked. Like I like hard boiled eggs. I don't mind. I mean, I don't think of the texture of the yolk or the whites as rubbery, but I don't mind them. You know, I like hard boiled eggs, but I'm curious what this would produce.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious like how they would I don't know if I'm gonna sound silly here or not. I wonder if they change like how the scrambled eggs tasted or something like that. I don't know. I'm not sure. It doesn't seem like it would.
I don't think you would get a scrambled egg though.
Couldn't you turn it into a scrambled egg? Couldn't you?
Well, no.
No, you can't.
It's already solid.
Thank God this isn't live. Can edit this out later. Phew. What? What's that? My producer? Okay.
Sorry, James.
At least I'm being honest. I don't know many people that could try this, or even have the time to try this. But I
think the money to try this right now. Because if you screwed it up, or it didn't turn out and you didn't like it, you're like, man,
how much
did that egg cost?
That's the first thing I thought of is if you go through all this and do it, and then at the end of it, you're like, it didn't taste any different. Like, that would really aggravate me.
Only did it with one. And it was fantastic. And now you have to do it again.
Yeah. They're like, I'm going to make some toast. I'm going to order a pizza. We will take a time out. We'll come back and we're going to help you get hired. We're going to talk about 5 things you might secretly be judged for in a job interview. Coming up on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Oh, thank you. Morning Show at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. We're going to take you to the top of the hour and kick off the 9 o'clock hour with our friend Amy Schultz. She's going to be here talking Girl Scouts of Northwest Great Lakes.
cookies.
Yes, cookies. We're going to be talking about that coming up in just a little bit. But right now, your resume shows if you're qualified or not. An interview is more about whether you'll click. And people who run those interviews can be pretty tricky with the way they judge us on them. Someone asked hiring managers to name any, quote, special tests they use to secretly judge people during interviews. And here are 5 different tactics they mentioned. The water test.
Water test. Oh, boy.
It's apparently a pretty common one. If they offer you water, saying yes makes you seem confident. But if you chug it too fast, you look nervous. So say yes to water, but just sip.
Who is not nervous in a job interview?
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you be nervous? I mean, at least a little bit.
I want you a little on edge or a little nervous or something like that, because I don't like people feeling that way, but that does mean that you're engaged and that you want this.
The job.
Yes. Trying to catch you in a lie. Like pretending to know a non-existent person at one of your old jobs, they say, oh, you work there. Do you know Zeke? If you pretend you do, you're out. Seeing if you're a team player. A manager at a restaurant said that they like to leave a broom on the floor to see if the person picks it up when they walk by. If they step over it, they don't get hired.
Okay, but if the manager stepped over it... Like, that would be...
I would
do 2. Honestly, I would leave a broom on the floor and a rag on the floor. Mm. Manager picks up the broom. If you pick up the rag, sure.
All right. We got 2 more of these, but I got to do something real quick here. And I have done very little hiring in my life, being completely honest with the audience. And Melissa knows how bad at I am job interviewing. but when it comes to this...
I do that as I have a mouthful of coffee. You did just fine.
When it comes to this, the one thing that I push back on, and I am so sick and tired of when it comes to the working in general, no matter what type of work, no matter what you're doing out there, head games and office politics.
Yeah.
Who has the time for this?
Nobody.
I don't care how good you are at your job or what position you're in. If you are playing head games with your employees, with your coworkers, if you are doing things like this, you are wasting time. Mm-hmm. And time, as far as I understand it, as money. If you can't read a person, if you can't get a good judge on a person, a good read on a person, I don't think you're right for the job. I don't think you should be doing the interviewing. If you've got to go through this extent to be able to figure out if somebody is right for your company, I don't think you're good at the job. I don't think you're good at hiring people. I think you should let somebody else. Maybe this is what AI should be for. Because
oh gosh, well that's a different topic.
No, that's a whole different topic. And no, I don't mean that. I was just joking. No. But the idea of this is such not only a waste of time, it's childish.
Well, and
it's
just
something that I expect from, like, once you're over the age of 13, head games need to stop. Like, it's pointless. It's tiresome. It's lazy, and I find it childish.
Well, I think it points out how cynical we've become. Like, we expect everybody walking at us or coming to a job interview to be trying to trick us.
Yeah.
To be trying to pull the wool over our eyes and to, you know, pretend to be better. And just, I don't know. It's a...
Going through these last two, asking questions that don't have a correct answer. Oh, that's a great one. Yeah. Hiring managers at Google used to do it. One question they'd ask, how many golf balls would fit in a school bus? Jeez. You need to know the exact size of the bus to do the math. So the real reason they asked was to see if people would toss out a number or think it through and explain why a right answer wasn't really possible.
Honestly, that doesn't seem like a really hard question.
No, no.
I mean, I would just answer a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
More golf balls than I have.
I think part of what bothers me of this is the idea of, like, you could have the perfect candidate, but they answer this question wrong, so you're not going to hire them. Like, what are we doing? Why are we filling out resumes then? Just let me walk in there and answer these questions. Just ask the receptionist is the final one they have here.
Okay, this is the one I appreciate.
Okay. Several people said that they always ask the receptionist how the person treated them. So be nice or you might ruin your chances before your interview even starts.
That's honestly the only one of these that I think has merit.
I agree, but on a larger scale, just in, I was a little kid and my dad felt it was very important that my brother and sister and I learned you treat the server and the cook the same.
Yeah.
You
treat everybody with respect.
Yeah, yeah. And so in that regard, I think just a life lesson in life in general, you do this, especially in a job interview, especially when you're definitely, I don't think that there's anything wrong with going in there and wanting to put on your best, you know, and be at your best and everything. The idea of trying to catch people off their best or get people off their game, it feels like the opposite of what we're supposed to be doing here. Yeah, it's trickery. Mm-hmm. And look, let's just go ahead and do this from now on. If you want a job and be hired, you have to go to a bridge and there's a troll under there and you have to answer 3 riddles. And if you get the first 2 riddles right, you move on to the second interview.
Wait. We weren't going to do mind games, James.
Well, if we're going to do them.
Riddles are mind games.
If we're going to do them, let's have some fun with it. And let's
be straightforward about it.
And let's be honest. When's the last time trolls had work? Let's give them a job,
you know,
too.
Everybody deserves a job. But honestly, from the hirer's perspective, mm-hmm. asking the receptionist is a smart thing to do.
Couldn't agree more. Let's go ahead and take a quick call. We got a couple minutes before we got to go out of that segment here. Good morning, you're on the air.
All right, James, I'm going to throw you off here then a little bit.
Mm.
What kind of animal would you be?
Oh, jeez. Oh, a lion. Oh.
A lion?
I'm just going to throw it out there, a lion. I don't know. I didn't really think about it.
Well, and that's just, I mean, that was what, you know, going through, you know, when I was going through some of my college courses, that was kind of one of the questions that our instructor asked us, you know, because sometimes they do those questions, like, again, like you said, to kind of throw you off a little bit and see where you go with it. And, I mean, how many people would say a little kitten?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to try to explain why a little kitten.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And to me, that is just to see a
yellow belly sapsucker. Just guys, so I could say yellow belly sapsucker.
The first animal that came to mind when you asked that question, Kev, was otter.
Nice.
I don't know why.
Why would you say an otter, though? You know, that's what they would do to you. You know, kind of trying to throw it off a little bit. I mean, you still might be hired, but maybe if you do see like a little kitten, maybe they're going to sit there and say, well, maybe he's not that good of a, you know, strong person.
What animal did you say, Kevin? What animal did you say?
What animal did I say? Yeah. I said a lion.
You're right. Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know,
yep.
I mean, they're an aggressive animal, obviously. Mm-hmm. And they're the king of the, you know, king of the jungle.
Agree with all that. They're protectors. So it was the first thing that I thought of. But I could see where some of this goes on a date. Like if you're on a date and some of these things come up, I can kind of see some of it. I kind of get a little bit of it and everything. But even then, I don't know. It just, head games make me uncomfortable. I just feel like you're so much better off being straight up instead of like doing a water test with a person or anything like that. How about being able to find out if they're confident by just reading them and reading people? That's why you're in that position, supposedly, in hiring people, is because you're good at reading. All this other stuff, all it tells me, if you got to go through all of these things, I don't think you're good at your job. The person doing the interviewing, the best people I've worked for and the people that have been hired by didn't need to go through all this. I don't know. I don't think this makes a good manager. I don't think this makes a good ownership or anything having to do head games.
Yeah, interviewing is hard. Honestly, though, it is. It's a difficult task because you don't want to get it wrong.
Well, yeah. See, now that's where I got to come in and say that it was really easy for me because I got to interview you. It was a no-brainer.
James, we might have.
Yeah, a little bit. We'll talk off air.
Hey, guys. Come on.
thanks for the call, Kev. Have a good morning.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you, Kevin.
Safe travels out there. Melissa and I will be back. We'll be back with Amy. Amy Schultz is going to be joining us from Girl Scouts of Northwestern Great Lakes. Coming up on The Morning Show.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.